I'd like to contribute to this discussion as a practitioner, as a voluntary sector practitioner. If the question is, are the majority of our children and young people in moral crisis, then I would say quite definitely not. As a society, I feel we buy into a crude and dangerous caricature if we believe our young people don't possess character. The vast majority know how to be good, perhaps I would say, despite of us. Millions of young people, despite constant demonisation, live positive lives. They are hopeful, ambitious, curious and kind. They do well at school. They have strong and loyal friendships and they protect and love their siblings. They overwhelmingly attend school and yes, they even enjoy it. And most of them do the very best they can in exams. They'll never see the inside of a police station and they never will. They don't carry guns or knives or commit mindless acts of vandalism. They experiment with drugs and alcohol, but they don't binge drink or spiral into drug abuse. Take their sexual health very seriously, but they all also fall in love and lust, and sometimes they make mistakes. Most of young people, in my experience, exhibit a profound and thoughtful sense of compassion, of ambition, of decency, of hope, of character. And I wonder, I suppose, firstly, if we feel comfortable singling out another social group and then arguing they were in moral crisis. You know, would we dare? Are those who terrorise their partners and children, or people who are violently intolerant of other people's faith, race or sexuality in moral crisis? I would say probably yes, they are. But surely the critical question is, as we engage in what I know is an important debate, is whose moral compass are we expecting our young people to adopt? Are we setting the right examples for our young people? Whose character are we asking young people to duplicate? Is it the values which allow 1 in 6 young people to witness domestic violence? Or the set of values which see up to 10,000 young people a year go missing, never to be seen again? They don't come home, they're never seen again. Is it the same set of values which mostly ignore the 16% of children who are neglected, abused and brutalised at some point during their childhood? Or the 500,000 young people being terrorised and bullied by a peer? Is it the grotesque child pornography which permeates our internet, but we as adults fail to police? Or the shame of human trafficking or child prostitution? Are these the values we want our young people to adopt? For me, I just feel that we confuse, demean and patronise our children when we ask them to be good, when they only need to look around them for a moment for so many examples of how to be bad. As with adults, and for me it's very important, there are many thousands of young people who do need intensive care. Their moral compass is, at times, unacceptably skewed. And yes, the state does have a significant part to play in it, as far as developing those skills with both young people and children, both in terms of setting public policy and implementing it, but also, and perhaps more immediately, by setting the right tone as adults and acting as exemplars to our young people and children. But for me, absolutely, the development of character in our young people is profoundly important. For me, next to basic human rights, which we should all be afforded, it's perhaps the most critical set of life skills parents, schools and communities can instill in our children and young people. In an ideal world, you know, all families would have the capacity and skills to provide young people the moral route map. Adults and family members would demonstrate character or how to be good by example. Young people would flourish. They'd build stable and constructive relationships, and they'd skip off onto a world of moral fortitude and emotional intelligence. But that's not the real world. Over the last 10 years, BeatBullying has worked with thousands, literally thousands of young people. In our experience, and I have no idea whether this is controversial or not, probably about 1 in 30 young people are not good, a label I totally reject, I hasten to add. They are boys and girls. They're raised in all sorts of family units. these their behaviours need to be addressed by introducing, I would argue, a new set of policy and practice instruments. Not only out of compassion, but to build civilised, functioning communities that are safe, just and equitable. For me, these instruments need to focus on radically extending social and emotional education, but more importantly, substantially investing in developing, sustaining and building the emotional IQ of that 1 in 30, on equipping these young people to manage their impulses and their consciences, to help them understand how to navigate conflict, how to manage relationships with their peers, their families, with authority figures, and but most importantly for me, bullying, how to manage their own fears, humiliations, joys and happiness. I suppose we all know these 1 in 30. We know who they are. We've met them. We think they're other people's children, but sometimes they're our own children. They are, in our experience, serial bullies. They use their physical strength and verbal power to threaten and dominate and intimidate others. They are often habitual truants, academic non-achievers, but underachievers as well. They have an inability to control their anger or resolve conflict. They are at times narcissistic, they are at times self-serving, they are at times dishonest. This inability to control their impulses is, in our experience, always coupled with a restricted emotional IQ, and often with violent outbursts born out of frustration and resentment. They are mostly intolerant of other faiths, belief systems and moral codes. They habitually objectify and commodify their bodies, their sexuality and material goods. Most of them in our experience also have undetected or undiagnosed learning or mental health difficulties. These young people haven't developed character. Once again, they are not bad, mostly in our experience, because no one has shown them how to. It's a very basic concept. But absolutely, these 1 in 30 are always wounded, they are always confused, they are crippled by fear and self-loathing, with no respecter of class, of background, of ethnicity or sexuality. Many of them witness domestic violence, or they live with parents or carers that are addicts, or have mental health problems. Many are victims of child abuse or neglect. Others are so ignored by their parents that they can only find refuge in violence and bullying and eating disorders, self-harm and social networking sites where they can discuss their own death, something we come across constantly in the online work we do. All of them, however, once you dismantle the bravado, the hubris, the aggression or the silence, panic when faced with anger from another person. They have mostly no idea how to navigate a setback. They rarely express emotions. They mostly recoil from being touched. They overreact, often aggressively, to minor problems. They often feel, with good reason, constantly let down by other people. Humiliation or perceived humiliation makes them feel vengeful and isolated. For them, attack is always the best form of defence. It is fight or flight. So can we make these young people good, whatever that means? Of course we can. Of course we can, whatever that means. But it's time-consuming, it's immensely expensive, it is invariably unpopular, and it is complex in practice terms. But it's the coalface. It's a place where adults need to get their hands dirty, good and proper, despite the setbacks, despite the infinite frustrations, and despite our fear of failure. Big Bully, in our own way, trying to meet this challenge by running what we call gateway programs. It says what it does on the tin. Youngsters reach gateways. It's about bringing them back from that gateway before they go on to much more antisocial behaviour. These are intensive care programs. We don't call them intensive care programs with the youngsters. You shouldn't dare. But for us, they're intensive care programs. And they are intensive care programs for the young people, many of them who we call bad, for the 1 in 30. Over months and years, we work with the same young people to understand them the causes and consequences of their behaviour, both for themselves and others. They learn with us, but mostly for themselves, how to develop empathy and sympathy, often for the victims of their own violent criminal or bullying behaviour. But they also, they're also shown and learn how to relate to and function with their peers, families and loved ones. B-bullying develops with them practical techniques for controlling violent impulses and managing their own anger. We empower them, we hope, with an ability to exercise choice as it relates to their own behaviour. We introduce them to diversity and difference. We challenge them to work through their own fears and prejudices, how to look after and nurture their own bodies, understand their sexual identity, and really important, to respect the sexual identity of others. A member of my staff, when I was putting this together, a colleague, called us morality surrogates. And it just sounds outrageously right-wing, but on some levels that's what we are. We're just comparatively well-trained morality surrogates, and I'm quite comfortable with it as a word now. You know, where a parent or a school or the state ignores, lets down or abuses a young person, BB, like many other voluntary organisations, seek to offer that young person an ethical framework upon which they're able to perhaps construct a life. I hope, successfully offer these young people a moral route map. We constantly use that word with them. It schools them in the social and emotional skills we feel they need. It's the basics in what we call character, delivering young people the tools to be able to change, to see the worth in engaging with rights and respect and responsibility. And I feel if we don't school our most vulnerable young people, our 1 in 30, in the art of courage, and these are arts of courage and kindness and integrity and honesty, of common purpose and community, if we don't teach them how to process emotions, how to navigate anger, loss, fear, attraction, joy. It's not just negative emotions. It's very positive emotions that they cannot navigate at all. They will and do not thrive. Young people who cannot process their own emotions do not thrive in front of us. As far as I'm concerned, for too long, we as a society have not intervened in teaching the basics of character to many thousands of young people, nor have we set the right examples. The state and public policy has not focused on the development of values in children, There's been a disproportionate amount of attention on the perceived moral crisis of young people in general, and not a focus on working with the 1 in 30 that genuinely need intensive interventions, who need desperately to be taught the basics. More pressingly and finally, if we don't intervene and educate these young people, they will not develop character as we understand it. Character is the food of the soul. It's emotional sustenance that builds character. Without it, our young people cannot be the best they can be. They cannot function, they cannot learn, they cannot cope with all that life throws at them. And for me, in 21st century Britain, that just isn't good enough. Thank you.